Well, good morning. Thanks for that worship set, Amy. That'll get us going this morning, right? A little gospel to start us off. I'm Brent. I'm one of the pastors here at Ashworth. And have you ever been in a conversation where you think you know what somebody's talking about, but really you have no idea? All the time. Okay, so I'm not alone. Absolutely. You know, in my younger days, I would have probably, if I'm in those conversations, this is wisdom from the older to the younger. In my younger days, I would have just shaken my head and been like, yeah, and acted like I knew what was going on. You know, you just kind of pretend because you don't want to admit that I don't know what's happening here. I don't understand. You know, I, as a kid, you know, growing up, you hear words and you think you understand the usage and then you really don't. And then you try to use it and you've used, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can mess things up. And one of the things I was thinking about in how we misuse or misunderstand things is an expression that I think we use or a word we use a lot that we may not use properly. And that's the word literally. So this really was came to my attention a few years ago, and I was at one of my extended family gatherings, and down there talking in Arkansas with my family, and one of my nephews, nieces, sister, whoever, made a comment and just basically said something like, you know, well, when that happened, I literally died. And of course, my brother, if you knew him, he not to let that go. He says, well, you didn't literally die. And they, well, what do you mean? Yes, I did. And he's like, well, no, if you literally died, you wouldn't be here right now. So you figuratively died, you metaphorically died, but you didn't literally die. Anybody have friends you use that way, literally that way? Yeah, and it's like, stop it, right? You know, literally means a specific thing. Although I must admit, researching that for this sermon, which is crazy that I was even on the web looking for this, it says we've now redefined literally, so I guess it can mean that. Go figure. Who decided that? You know, just like the word literally, when it comes to certain words we use in the Christian circles, you know, and we could have picked probably a bunch of them to make fun of, but we won't. But there are certain words or expressions that we use or we know, and I'm wondering sometimes if we really truly understand exactly what that word or expression means. And that's what I want us to look at today, is a word that we use a lot, that man, it gets thrown around everywhere, but I'm curious if this word has been hijacked and is trying to make us think it means something that maybe it didn't originally mean. So here we are in this series called Who Do You Think You Are? And each week we're looking at this idea of we're trying to discover, who are you? Who am I? And it's not that we're looking and saying, I want you to write down who you want to be or who you think you are. No, what we're looking at is we believe that our identity comes from someplace other, someplace better, someplace greater than where we can even get to there on our own. And it comes from God. And so every week we've looked at you are free and you are restored. And last week we talked about you are chosen. And today, what I want to look at is this, I think, is a misunderstood and overused expression. But it's very true, because today what I want us to look at is how you are blessed. You are blessed. Now, a quick look through social media will reveal a ton of things about this, that you understand that blessed is a very common expression. In fact, you could say that blessed just kind of flows off the tongue and off the fingers and the thumbs and everything, because as you go into Instagram, anybody, any Instagram people here? Okay, this is me last night, this is a screenshot from my computer last night, okay? I went to Instagram, I typed in hashtag blessed. Can you guys read how many posts there are with hashtag blessed? 107 million posts on Instagram with the hashtag blessed. Now, and that doesn't even add in hashtag blessed praying hands, hashtag blessed life, hashtag blessed praise the Lord hands, and hashtag blessed. Is that an angel or a halo, angel? Okay, I'm not even familiar with that emoji. And I just want you to know how much fun this is going to be in the second service explaining this, just so you know. I actually have in my notes, it says, in case you don't know what a hashtag is, it is a word or phrase preceded by a pound sign on your phone used on social media to identify a topic. See, so I'm trying to bring everybody to this place. Now, I'm going to tell you, don't search for this on Instagram. Guys, don't search for this on Instagram. There are pictures you should not be seeing. Now, sometimes people will post this and they'll have a nice picture of them with their new car. There's lots of pictures of vacations, but evidently hashtag blessed is females in bikinis because that's what comes up most. And I had no idea until I typed it in. So stay away from that. But we look at this and we see that this can be a lot of different things. It can be that new car. It can be that college acceptance letter. We're hashtag blessed. It's that engagement picture, that beach vacation, that family photo, that new baby, that gold you scored in the game. All these things come together and we post these things online and we go, hashtag blessed. But is this truly what blessing looks like? Because as I think about how we use this whole hashtag blessed, I can't help but think of the inverse. And think about it for just a moment. If you are hashtag blessed with a new car, does that mean the person who can't afford the new car is not blessed? Or what about if you are hashtag blessed because of that new promotion you got and that raise, what does it mean for the person who just got laid off? And probably one of the saddest ways we see it used, and not sad, it's very happy, but the inverse is heartbreaking. Because if we are hashtag blessed when we get pregnant or have a new baby, what does that mean for the mom or the dad who desperately wants to get pregnant but are unable to conceive? As even I say that, does your heart not break a little bit and you think, wow, the implications of somebody just going to a social media account and typing in hashtag blessed and posting a picture really gives an idea of what we think blessing really looks like. And today, you know, I want us to kind of see, is that what we find in Scripture? Because see, for years I've heard people say things like, oh, God's blessed my business. And you know what that means? It means we're being successful, we're making money. And God has blessed me with a new house, and that's great. And God has blessed me with financial security. But is that how God works? Is that what it really means? You see, because as I thought about that this week, and I have to tell you, there's certain sermons that kind of scare me coming into them. Last week scared me a lot. You are chosen. Yeah, let's wade into that debate. But this one does too, because I think even as Christ followers, as Baptists, as, you know, we're not good Baptists, but we're Baptist. But even for all of us, it's like as we think about this, I find it very easy for us to kind of go down a very slippery slope very quickly when we start using that word blessed. What do I mean? Well, when we tie blessed to the things that we have, it's very easy for us to kind of flip into this kind of prosperity thinking. You know, in religious circles, not just here in America, but around the world, there is this very popular movement known as the health and wealth gospel or the prosperity gospel, and it goes something like this. If you want to get, you need to give. If you want God to like you better, give more. And I have to admit, from a pastor's perspective, genius marketing plan. I mean, absolutely genius. If I was smart, I would stand up here and say, you guys we're going to pass those plates again. You want God to bless you? You just drop that check in the plate and it'll flow down from heaven. Plant that seed. Hallelujah. No, but I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, I've been to Haiti. I've been to Ethiopia. I've been to Liberia. And every country I've been to, guess what I have found? The prosperity gospel. Because you have people who are hungry, who are living in poverty, and you give them a message. You tell them a message of, you know what, just give what you've got, and God will bless you. And who's not willing to take out the checkbook or take out the cash and throw everything you've got on the hope that God will release financial prosperity towards you? I think we have to be careful here. Because if we just keep tying this hashtag blessed to the stuff we have, it's easy for us to go, well, maybe we believe a little bit more of that prosperity gospel than we should. Or maybe we're living it out that we should and we shouldn't be. It's very easy for us to fall into that line of thinking and to tie that word blessed to material possessions. And it doesn't even, not even just the material possessions, it can even be health. I mean, as I said, it's called the health and wealth gospel. I mean, if you're sick, not enough faith, give more. Again, great marketing plan, right? If you're trying to raise money, this is good. But is it biblical? So what does that mean for the people who are struggling with cancer? Or the family in Ashworth who lost their elementary age child last year? What does it mean for them? Are they not blessed? Is that because, you know, it really begins to mess with our minds. The other area I think we have to be careful of and think about is blessed, how it's related to the idea of luck. Now you may think, well, that's crazy, but I must admit my own fault here. You know, has your kid ever come home to you before and said, oh my goodness, mom or dad, you won't believe what happened in school today. They were giving out free coupons for ice cream and I got one. I'm so lucky. And you go, you're not lucky. You're blessed. Okay, I realize we want to make some things spiritual, but what are we teaching in that moment? That to be blessed is nothing better than a spiritualized version of luck? Is that really what we want our kids thinking? And in that moment, aren't we reducing blessing to nothing more than superstition and chance? And I think there's one more area we need to be careful. This is especially pertinent to me and Lynn and those of us from the South, because if we're not careful, we'll use the word blessed as a way to speak badly of someone, but do it in a very nice way. Familiar with what I'm saying? You know that, right? Where you just add the phrase, bless your heart, to whatever you say, and it's all good. Oh, that girl is so ugly, bless her heart. You see, you didn't know if it was an insult or a compliment. You like that? Well, that boy is so dumb, his elevator does not go all the way to the top floor, bless his heart. See, it's amazing. See, people from the South aren't so dumb. We know how to insult you without you even knowing it. That last one's really more funny than anything. But how do we think about the word blessed? Is it prosperity? Is it just a Christian version of luck? What is it? And so we're going to dig a little bit in a couple different passages today. And we're going to go back to where we were last week in Ephesians chapter 1. It's the same passage because before we get to the idea of you being chosen, Paul makes an interesting statement that I want us to look at. So Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, look at what Paul says. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then we go into where we were last week. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Right away, we see that Paul, in that verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Now, what's interesting is I don't care for the NIV translation here, because if you go to other translations, what you might find is what will be on the screen here, is where it says, "Blessed be the God." It's the same Greek word in variations used three different times in this one phrase right here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Three times Paul is making this statement. And so what is he talking about? I think very quickly we can go, well, we're called to bless. It says, "Blessed be the God." So how do you bless God? Do we write God a check? Do we give God more stuff? Is prosperity what makes God blessed? And the answer clearly is no. Because we believe that God owns it all, that God has it all. There's nothing that we can add to God. So there's got to be another idea or another thought process here that says, what does it mean to bless God? And if you look at the Greek word here, it's variations of a word called eulogia. Eulogia. Now, what does that sound like? Eulogy. Now, immediately we think funeral, right? But what is a eulogy in a funeral? It's just a spoken word, a favor about someone. Right? It's where you get up and somebody says, "This is so-and-so, they were a great person, a real impact on my life. Man, we're going to miss this person." But it doesn't only have to be a funeral. We can eulogize one another by speaking words of favor over one another. And Paul here is saying that we bless God. We speak those words of favor about God because he has blessed us. He has spoken over us already. Not that he's going to, he already has. And he has given us every spiritual blessing, that favor. What is that? Those spoken words, that idea that we're going to look at and get to later. But there's not an idea of prosperity that comes here. And he uses the word that you've been given every spiritual blessing. And that leads sometimes for us to think that, oh, that that's not something we can realize here and now. That is something I'm going to get later in the future when I'm with God. And Paul's like, no, that's not what I mean at all. When we use the word spiritual, it just means the gifts, what God has given us when he has given us the Holy Spirit. That's what the word spiritual means there. And using spiritual here just highlights what God has done for us and how he gives us life. And instead of Paul looking here and saying, you have been blessed with every blessing from God, those houses and those cars and that checking balance and all those things, Paul continues on in this passage and he says, no, how you've been blessed is you've been chosen. You've been adopted. We talked about that last week. He says you are growing in faith. You have grace. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. That spiritual blessing that you have, how God has blessed us, is not with stuff. It's with Jesus himself. That's the greatest blessing any of us could ever have. And Paul is saying, and this blessing is yours now already if you are in Christ. Because to be truly blessed has nothing to do with the stuff we have or how healthy we are. It has to do with we know God and experience him. And Paul reminds us, he says, this isn't because of what you've done. It's not because you are lucky. It's not because you attended church enough times or gave enough money to God, to the church. And it's not even that God's spiritual favor because you've grown so much and you're so special, you're such a moral or ethical person. It's triggered because of who God is. It's always based on God and his desire to know and be known by us. And notice what Paul doesn't say. As I've already said, it doesn't talk about the personal wealth or our current circumstances. The gift that we've been given is God himself. God himself. In Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know, that sounds very fluffy, very high pie in the sky, and I'm like thinking, okay, so what does this actually look like and mean? So I want to explore a little bit more because Jesus also used a word that's translated blessed that I think gives us additional insight into what he means. And so in his most famous sermon, Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching a large crowd. And in that crowd, as he's teaching them, nine times as he begins this message, he starts with this idea, blessed are, blessed are. And I just put a few of them up there on the screen. As I said, you can find it in Matthew chapter 5. And then he completes the statement with expressions that we would never have chosen to put with blessed. And really, even for his original audience, it didn't line up with what they were expecting. And how even they and us, how we define blessing. You see, it's hard to resolve what Jesus calls blessed with what we call blessed. Think about that for just a moment. You see, as I was sitting in a coffee shop this week thinking about this passage, I thought about, you know, if we were to write a sermon for Jesus today, and we based it on our hashtags, and the titles we find in Christian bookstores like Your Best Life Now and The Blessed Life and things like this, I think we would write this sermon for Jesus something like this. Blessed are the rich, for they have large bank balances and don't have to worry about where their meals come from. Blessed are those who have no hardship or experience difficulties. Blessed are those who have their fill and never hunger and their pantries are full of food. Blessed are those who get to the top of their field. Blessed are those who live the good life and have the ability to take lots of vacations. And blessed are those who never get sick or have someone close to them get sick. You see, that's what we identify as being blessed. And yet, when we dig into what Jesus said, I don't know that we're anywhere close to what Jesus defines as blessed. Because if we really want to be blessed, Jesus says we're going to be poor in spirit. Mourn. Anybody signing up for that one? Oh, yes, I would like a little bit more mourning in my life, please, because I don't cry enough. I need a little bit more hardship. Blessed are the meek, the hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted, the insulted. That's what Jesus said blessed looks like. Could we get any further away from the definition than what Jesus had in his mind when he was telling us this is what the blessed life looks like? We are backwards. And what is so backward is what we see as messed up. What we see is screwed up. What we see is problematic. Jesus looks at and says, that's blessed. I don't know. When I thought about that this week, I got really convicted. Because when I see people going through hardship, I have to admit, sometimes I look at them and I think, well, what have you done wrong? Oh, maybe nothing. Maybe they're just in a season of life to experience more of God than I will ever know. What if what we see as misfortune, Jesus calls blessed? That's a radical redefinition for me. See, I think we all need to redefine what it means to be blessed, because if we don't, we will miss Jesus, because Jesus never links blessing to our circumstances or financial prosperity. He links it to himself and his kingdom. One of the articles I read this week when I was preparing was by a theology professor in Australia, and he had shared the story about a friend of his who went on a mission trip to an African country, didn't say which one. And one of the African Christians said to this guy, he says, you know, it must be so hard to be a Christian in Australia. And the guy was kind of taken aback, and he said, what do you mean by that? And the African man responded, he says, you have so much, it must be hard to depend on God. Wow. Talk about convicting. Not only do I think sometimes when we mislabel things, what we see as misfortune, God may see as blessings, but what if we even have it backwards from that? What if what we see as blessings from God are actually the things that are pulling us further away from Him? Think about that for a moment. I can't commit to spending more time with God because of the blessing of my job that requires me 24/7, 365. And I really can't commit to a community of people of faith because of my financial blessings that require me to travel and put my kids in all kinds of activities because of my blessings. I don't know. I find conviction there for me, because I think we want to classify some things as blessings that I think, if we're really honest, they're doing the exact opposite of what a blessing does. A blessing is pushing us closer to God and experience Him in a depth and a newness that we never have before. And yet some of the things in my life are actually doing the opposite and pulling me further away. When Jesus uses the word for blessed, He's actually using a different word than Paul used. It's not the same eulogia. He's using the word makario, which some words have translated as happy, which is really sad because that's a terrible definition, not a good translation, because when Jesus uses the word blessed, what he is talking about here is being fully satisfied, not dependent upon favorable circumstances, but knowing Jesus and being fully satisfied in that. What if to be truly blessed, what if we all want to get out our phones and talk about being hashtag blessed this morning, it meant we had to give up some things? What if it meant forfeiting some of our wealth and comfort or popularity or success, and it meant we needed to experience difficulty and persecution or total dependence upon God? I mean, think about it for just a moment. When do you find yourself needing God most? In the good times? No. I wish. No, it's in the struggle, when the wheels are falling off, when nothing is going your way. Our desire for God is naturally fueled by our need. And when our need is deepest, so is our desire for God. And when we are going through the most painful circumstances, times no one in our culture would ever look at and say, oh, you're so blessed. Look at the challenge you're going through. Woo! Nobody says that. But isn't that when we experience God in the most real way? Isn't that where real and genuine faith is formed? Isn't that where God's incredible love is really found? I mean, just think about this for a moment. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here you have this teenager, probably 13 years old, maybe 15, you know, we don't know for sure, but there she is, this young girl. She's got a man, she's going to get married, life is good, and then one day this angel appears to her and says, hey, guess what, you're about to be pregnant. Not by the man you're marrying, it's going to be miraculous, supernatural, and this is going to be awesome. An unwed mother, an unplanned pregnancy, nothing that we would ever put on Instagram as hashtag blessed. And yet when she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, you know what Elizabeth says to her in Luke chapter 1? She says, Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Hold on just a moment. You are unwed. You are pregnant. You don't know if this man's going to stay with you or leave. You don't know where your meals are coming from. You don't know how the whole society is going to ostracize you and kick you out, and you're going to be labeled a whore for the rest of your life. And somehow in this scenario, we find the word blessed. You see, I think it's time that people who are in the kingdom of God, people who are following Jesus, we must redefine what it means to be blessed. Your prosperity, nothing to do with it. Your good health, nothing to do with it. Your current circumstances, nothing to do with it. You are blessed if you know Jesus. And Paul says that's enough. You have every spiritual blessing because of him. So what is blessing then? I love the way one article I read this week put it. It said this. It said, Scripture shows that blessing is anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in him. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus. Anything that helps us relinquish the temporal and hold on more tightly to the eternal. And often it is the struggles and the trials, the aching disappointments, and the unfulfilled longings that best enable us to do that. A few years ago, there was a beautiful song written by a song entitled Blessings by Laura Story. And as I was preparing, I texted Amy Friday. I said, oh, I love this song. But listen to these lyrics because I think they're beautiful. She's saying, we pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We can't fall into the trap of what the world, the culture tells us what blessing really is. Because if we do, we're just following a different gospel than what Jesus is telling us. Are you here today? How blessed do you feel? When you go on social media and you see everybody posting all these perfect pictures, and you think, oh, I wish I was blessed. Let me encourage you this morning. Don't let what you're going through, don't let what you're experiencing, don't let your situation cause you to miss the Savior, because he is the blessing. Is your life good? Do you have all you need and then some? And let's be honest, that describes most of us. As you hear this, do you see how what you've always considered to be blessed in your life might actually be the burdens that are keeping you from experiencing the true blessing found only in Jesus Christ? Or maybe today you realize that what you have is great and you have Jesus and that's awesome, and you know what? It's time for you to take the blessing, the real blessing that you have, and begin to speak that blessing, that favor over others to encourage them and deepen their faith as they go through trials. If you follow Jesus, it's not going to look like what your friends post on social media. But let me just echo what Paul says. Regardless of your life, regardless of your situation, today I want you to know that you are blessed.